listening to the Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, and I am here to help you break free from binging, body shame, and diets that don't work. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. And by the way, if you love the show, please take a moment to go to Apple Podcasts and give us a rating or a review. Just look for the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio on Apple Podcasts. I really, really appreciate it. The more reviews we get, the more ratings we get, the more I get to reach more people and help more people. So thank you in advance. And if you would like to join me today, I always gave my number. I'm so used to giving my actual personal number. No, the number here is 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is weighing on you, because the real problem with binge eating, stress eating, any kind of emotional eating, the real problem is not food. It's what's eating at you. And that is what we're here to talk about. We're here to get to the root issues, not what you're eating, but why. The why is everything. If you just focus on food, it's like plucking a weed and hoping it's not going to grow back. What happens? The weed is gone for a little while and then it grows back and you got to pluck it again. And that's the cycle of dieting. You go on a diet, it works for a while, doesn't work. That binge diet cycle inevitably happens. And it is an interminable process. But the good news is if you get to that root, the root reason for why you're turning to food, which like an actual root can be hidden from us. We can't see roots, but we know they're there because they're growing the weeds. But when we get to the root and we dig it out, then it is gone for good. So many people think they've got to struggle with emotional eating or binge eating or eating disorders or whatever unhealthy, unhappy relationship with food you have. If you think that you have to struggle with it forever, for the rest of your life, that it's always going to be an issue, think again. When you get rid of that root, it's gone. It is gone for good. That is why I believe in liberation, not recovery. Recovery means you're always going to have to think about it, pay attention to it, deal with it. Liberation means you've won the war, you're done. So let's start off 2022 with getting on the road to liberation. Okay, so I have today a bunch of questions and I am going to start answering them. If you want to talk with me, feel free to just call. 323-203-0815 is the number. We'll chat. And I look forward to hearing from you. So, first question, what do you do after you circle back to binge eating? In terms of not binging for a few weeks or months, and then one day you circle back to it. What do you do? Okay, so if you're looking at binging as the problem, then it's going to be like, oh, I did it again. Oh my gosh, what's wrong? Why? But if you look at it as it is a solution to a problem, then you get curious. You may have heard me say, be curious, not critical. So if you're curious about it, I was not binging for weeks or months, and now I did it or I want to do it. What's that about? What problem is this resolving? What problem is this resolving? Because we think that we are triggered. Often people think they're triggered by food. They're actually triggered by some emotion or conflict or situation that triggers them, sometimes out of awareness. That's what the unconscious is. It's out of awareness, but not out of operation. So you get triggered in some way. You may or not be aware of it. Comfort to turn emotional pain to physical pain. Physical pain is easier to deal with than emotional pain, to symbolically fill a void. There could be so many reasons why you're binging. And when you focus on it as a detective, like detectives, I like to say I'm a detective of the mind. And detectives do not look at clues and judge them. They don't say that's a crazy clue. That's a weird clue. That's a disgusting clue. They say, oh, that's a clue. Okay, good, good. We have a clue. This gives us more information. And when you look at it that way and you look at it like, okay, if I'm binging, that means something's going on with me. There's something that I can't be with. There's something I want to distract from. Or, you know, maybe you don't have other ways of comforting yourself. Maybe something is going on internally and that's why you are binging, rather than focusing on how could I have eaten that? What's eating at you is the question. And again, that answer to the question is often hidden from us, hidden in our unconscious minds. If you're having trouble figuring out what's going on with me, I don't know what's going on with me. Why would I do that? Everything seems fine. Then definitely download the food mood formula. You can get it on my website, Dr. Nina Inc., drninainc.com. Or if you're on Instagram, you could just go to the link in my bio and get it there, because that really breaks down how the food you are choosing can give you a clue as to what is going on inside, even if it is out of your awareness. So a very recent example, someone in my Diet Free Divas group, I'm gonna change the story a little bit. She was watching TV. So many people get triggered watching TV or listening to songs or reading books because they read or watch or hear something that is triggering and they don't even realize it. They go, because we're so good at protecting ourselves, we go, boom, we go right to the protection, which is food, which is eating, which is binging. It is a frenemy. It does something for us. It protects you in some way, even though it also hurts us. So she was watching TV and she said all of a sudden she just wanted to eat popcorn. She's just like, I just had to have popcorn. I don't know what was going on. I just had to have popcorn. Her dad had popcorn before. She was staying with him for the holidays. And so she thought, oh, maybe I just saw my dad eating popcorn and now I want some. Well, it turned out that what she was watching had to do with a really terrible breakup. And what do you think it stirred up in her? Memories of her own really bad breakup. And so before she could go, oh, this is really activating me. This is triggering me. I'm thinking about my breakup. Before she could consciously think that, boom, she went right to popcorn. To, if you know the food mood formula, what is popcorn? Popcorn is crunchy. Crunchy is associated with feelings of anger, frustration, annoyance, irritation, and so forth. Hey, Barb. Hi, Barbara. Barbara from Carmen Golden Doodle is on Instagram. You guys, you have to check out her page. She has the most adorable dog. I have the most adorable dog with me who has been sleeping peacefully until this moment. Zane, stay put. Anyway, so she had all of these feelings of anger and frustration at her ex, and she was expressing it in that way, right? Then she got mad at herself for eating popcorn, when who is she really mad at? Who is she mad at? Her ex-boyfriend. So that's why you want to be a detective and look at what you're eating as a clue, or what you're binging on, or binging and purging, or whatever it is, or why you suddenly decide to restrict, whatever it is, there's a reason. It's not coming from out of the blue, even if it seems to be doing so. And that's why I developed the food mood formula, because sometimes it's really hard to figure out what you're protecting yourself from. If you're, the whole point of the protection is to keep it out of awareness. So it's really hard to know what you're feeling if the binge behavior is designed unconsciously to keep you from feeling something painful. So if you haven't been binging for a few months, a few weeks, for however long, a few years, and suddenly you start again, get really curious about why. Not critical. Not, why am I binging again? Oh my God, that's critical. What's wrong with me? I thought I was past this. That's critical. Curious is, why am I binging again? I was not doing it for a while. Now I'm doing it. What's going on with me? Maybe you need the food mood formula. Maybe you know. But either way, that's what you do when you have, as this person put, circled back to binging. Why do I believe in the anti-diet culture? Oh, so many reasons. So many reasons I believe in the anti-diet culture. I am trying to lead, along with many others, an anti-diet revolution. Here's the thing about diets. Diets are usually about some kind of deprivation. There's something you cannot eat on a diet. And the experience or anticipation of deprivation only makes you want something more. If you say that you can't have XYZ, guess what? That is what you are going to want more than anything. If I tell you, you can never eat zucchini again for the rest of your life, I guarantee you, you're going to want to eat zucchini. But more to the point, if you think you can't eat, you know, bread or pasta or ice cream or chocolate or whatever it is, or anything with a carb, then that's what you're going to want. And we want what we cannot have. And then when we let ourselves have it, we often binge on it because we think, oh, you know, we better get it now. Oh my gosh. Of all the times for my dog to wake up, I have a plumber in the house. That's why he's in here with me. The perils of working from home. He's coming back. Just a little peek into my life. Okay. If you think you can't have something, then when you let yourself have it, you're going to have more of it, because it's like, well, I'm going to have it now. I've blown it. I might as well have more. I might as well have a lot. And you know, and then you might as well have the other thing that you can't have. And so you end up binging. So diets create deprivation, which leads to binging. That's why it is a diet binge cycle. We want what we cannot have. Also, diets focus on what you are eating. They focus on what we're eating and not why. Not why we are eating whatever it is. Diets don't tell us that we are, diets keep us from knowing that we are feeling bad in some way and using food to cope. Diets restrict us. They separate us from our ability to eat intuitively. The $60 billion diet industry wants to make sure that you feel bad about your body and yourself. And every year there's a eat this, but not that, a new diet. So, and also 1 year it's low carb, next year it's high carb, low fat, high fat. What are we to do? Every year it's something different. And all of these diets just tell you, hey, don't listen to your body. Listen to what we're telling you. And we really need to go back to eating intuitively. And of course, you can't eat intuitively until after you've resolved the emotional eating or the emotional conflicts or internal conflicts involved in emotional eating, and until you have created new strategies of being with yourself in a different way. Because how do you get over binge eating? First, you become a detective. First, you stop dieting. And these are all, by the way, these are all things I talk about in my book, The Binge Cure. I have a copy of it somewhere. So The Binge Cure, 7 steps to outsmart emotional eating. It can be done. First, you got to stop dieting. Then you got to figure out why you're binging. What's eating at you? Then you got to express what it is that you have been using food to suppress. You can express your that, like, I'm mad at my husband and I can't tell my husband I'm mad at him. I can't tell my wife I'm really mad at her. I can't do that. No, I'm not saying necessarily talk to the person who's upsetting you, but express it to a friend, in a journal, in a group. Oh, Barbara, thank you so much. She just posted a super sweet comment in Instagram. You got to express it. And then it takes more than just expressing it. After you express it, you have to respond to yourself differently. You have to learn to comfort yourself with words. So first of all, stop dieting. Dieting just, it's just bad on so many levels. Physiologically also, and you know, my friend Maggie Lanson talked about how even dieting causes stress on your body, whether you're even aware of it or not. And stress causes a cortisol reaction, which leads to gaining weight more easily. There are a plethora of reasons why dieting is bad for you. So dieting is absolutely terrible for your body, your spirit, your mind, in every way. First, you stop dieting. Then you get really, really curious about what is going on within. Why do you want to turn to food? Why are you binging? What's going on that you either are aware of, or, as I've given you the tool of my food mood formula, that you're unaware of, that then you need to express. So if you're mad at your boyfriend and or your wife or your girlfriend or your husband or your significant other or whatever, your children, your parents, whoever, express that. And some people feel very guilty about those feelings. It's easier for them to be mad at themselves for binging than to be mad at other people. And I'm just using anger as an example. It could be many, many, many different feelings. But you express it. You have to express it in words and then respond to yourself. So how do you respond to yourself? You respond to yourself by first validating. Of course I feel this way. Validating, acknowledging, and reassuring yourself. Validating and acknowledging kind of go together. Oh my gosh, I'm upset. Of course I am. How could I not be given this situation? Yes, anybody in my situation would feel this way. Of course I feel this way. Then you reassure yourself. I've been through tough times in the past. I've resolved them. This might not be bothering me as much as it is now. It's not always going to feel this way. I can cope with this. I can find a way through this. I've got this. And of course, this is from my VARY acronym. VARY, your response to yourself. Validate, acknowledge, and reassure yourself. So those are the key pieces of liberating yourself from binge eating or any kind of eating disorder. Really looking at why the behavior is happening, expressing what you are using food to distract from, or sometimes to express, and then responding to yourself, really treating yourself as you would a friend. If a friend binged on something, you probably wouldn't say to your friend, oh my God, what's your problem? I'm never going to lose weight. You know how that goes. You would never say that to a friend, right? And if you would, well, you got to work on your friendship. But I know none of you who are listening would ever say that to a friend. What would you say? You'd be kind. You'd be reassuring. You'd be nice at the very least. So you got to treat yourself the way you would treat a friend. Super important. So that's why I believe in anti-diet culture, because diets separate us from our physical selves. We don't know, you know, what we're hungry for. If a diet is telling us eat this, but not that. And it doesn't let us tune into what is going on emotionally, or, you know, in our heads and our hearts, that there's a reason we may be turning to food. If you're going on a diet, that just makes you focus on food. It doesn't make you be curious about, well, why do I want to use food to cope? And then you never identify what it is that you need to cope with, and then you never end up resolving it. So diet culture, awful. And also diets, diets can mess with your metabolism. They're usually restrictive in some ways, right? So you're having fewer calories come in. Your body says, whoa, fewer calories coming in. We got to slow down. And then your metabolism slows down so that when you eat normally or when you binge again, it is easier to gain weight. It makes your metabolism slower. There are just so many reasons. In fact, I just did a post with Maggie about this very topic, about why you shouldn't be dieting. So check it out on Instagram. If you're not on Instagram yet, or you don't know that I'm on Instagram, it's dr.nina.psychoanalyst. Affirmations for healthy body image. This is a tough one. Affirmations for a healthy body image. Because on the one hand, you can look in the mirror and say to yourself, I am beautiful, I am loved, the universe loves me, whatever it is that your affirmation is. And you could say it about 1,000 times. And are you going to feel any better? Are you going to feel lovable and loved and all of that? Probably not. We can't talk ourselves into what we don't believe. And that's why I think you really have to hold both. You can say, you know what, you can look in the mirror and instead of going, oh, but I'm gonna accept myself as I am. You know, if that's you, if you can accept yourself as you are, good for you. My hat is off to you. That is quite an achievement. But in my experience, most people cannot accept themselves. And then they feel bad because they can't accept themselves. It's like I've had people say, I've failed at the body positive movement. I can't be body positive. And by the way, if you have anything, feel free to call 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. I would love to hear what is on your mind and what is eating at you. Okay, so affirmations just per se, body positive affirmations, I don't think are helpful because we don't believe them. But when we say, you know, I may not like this part of my body, but I like this part of my body. Like to hold both, to say, I don't love my nose, but I love my hair, and I'm going to focus on my hair. Or I reframe certain things like instead of my thighs are too big, just say, you know what, my thighs are strong and I feel good about that, but I can at the same time want them to be a little slimmer. Like there's this whole movement of you're not supposed to want to lose weight. But that's not realistic. In an ideal world, you accept yourself exactly as you are. But maybe you do want to be both healthier in mind and body and be at a healthier weight for you. So how do you get there? You don't disparage yourself. You don't wait until you're at a whatever weight to feel good about yourself. You got to start saying, okay, I don't necessarily like this part of my body, and that's okay. I like this part of my body. Instead of just looking at what you don't like, I think it's really good to affirm, back to the question, what are some affirmations for healthy body image, that you have to balance it with acknowledging that, you know, there's aspects of yourself you don't like, but there are things you do like. Often we get so used to looking at what we don't like about our appearance that that's all we see. That's all we focus on. And then it gets exaggerated in our mind. So you've got to see more of a holistically. You know, we all have things we don't like about our physical selves and our personalities probably too. We all have stuff, but we don't have to constantly just look at that. We can say, okay, I don't like that, but I like this. And if you think, now this gets also into the psychology. Why don't you like aspects of your body? You know, lots of times people say, well, I'm too big. And by the way, sometimes we can look in the mirror and say, I look good. Oh, yes, I look good. And then like literally 5 minutes later, look in the same mirror and say, oh, I'm huge. Well, that is a psychological phenomenon. So what does it mean when we have big feelings, when we have huge emotions, when there are things that are weighing on us, when we're weighed down? What is that, and how is that getting expressed as being too much, feeling like too much? Some of you may know my story of how when I was 5 years old, I seemingly suddenly and randomly looked at my thighs and thought they were too big. And I was a totally normal weight child, but I became convinced that I was too big and that if I were somehow thinner, I would be better. I would somehow be more likable, more lovable. And why was this? Well, later on, I realized that I was constantly being told, like, oh, you're too loud. You're too emotional. You're too this, you're too that, you're too that. So in my 5-year-old mind, I felt like I was too much. I felt like I was a burden. I was too much. My 5-year-old mind went, oh, like there's too much of me. And sometimes when we feel, and if there were less of me, I wouldn't be too much. And therefore, maybe I'd be more accepted and loved in my family. And that's an example of the power of the mind of when we, we feel too much, or we feel that we are too much, or we feel like we're a burden. We can experience ourselves as physically being too much. Right, Zane? Zane's here with me today. Okay. As soon as the plumber leaves, which is probably going to be as soon as the show is over, he can leave. But just stay with me, Zane. Say hello. Say hello to the people. Okay. And that's why, again, you get the idea that it's a lot about symbolism. We take things at face value. We got to look at it symbolically. It's like if you are feeling fat, a lot of people say, oh, I feel so fat. Well, what is that code for, right? A detective of the mind is going to say, look, fat is not a feeling. Fat is a substance. It is not an emotion. So what is it that you are expressing when you feel fat? What is it that feels too much? What is it that is uncomfortable, unbearable? What's weighing on you?
Hello?
Hello? Oh, hello. Just saw that I have
a caller. This is Nicole.
Nicole, it is so good to hear from you. You called, for those of you who are new, I want to introduce Nicole, who called weekly for a very long time. And Nicole, do you want to share your news?
Yeah, sure. I got married about almost 2 months ago.
Oh, congratulations. And
thank you so much.
It's so wonderful that you had this beautiful, happy ending after everything that you were going through. So I'm really proud of you. I'm really happy for you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. You've been a big part of it. I still channel you all the time. I'm getting emotional. I don't want to cry live on radio or whatever this is.
Well, wow. I'm on video, but you're not.
Okay,
cry away.
So I'm calling because I have a question. I channel you a lot still, just like every day, you know, like if I'm hungry, what do I feel like? Is it protein? Is it fat? Is it carbs? Like, what is it, you know? And so I actually got COVID and I'm just getting better, but I've lost my sense of smell and taste. And it's been so frustrating. Sorry, what did you say, Dr. Nina?
I said, I am so sorry that you got COVID. And it is very frustrating to lose our senses in that way. But I would also say that I hope, I'm glad that you're thinking about what do you want food-wise. And that means that you're not turning to food for emotional reasons or to distract yourself.
Now the hard part is because I'm so frustrated about these not having my senses, and I'm aware of that. It's like I found myself last night, like just I kept eating. I was like, oh, maybe the senses will come back. But like I just kept going, and I was like, shit, like it's not coming back. I kept trying different things, and then at one point I'm like, shit, maybe I just need to surrender and trust that it will come back, and like just be aware that it's because I don't have my senses, and I'm frustrated, and I'm eating out of frustration and not because I'm actually hungry. So what am I doing? And it was also that much more challenging because now that I'm married and like cooking, and my husband really likes, it's weird to call him my husband still, but the Persian food. And I was making this dish that I remember growing up my mom would always make, and it was like driving me insane that I could not smell what I was making or taste what I was making. And I guess that's a separate thing, but just I guess the only thing I could do is be aware. You may not have an answer for me. I'm thinking.
I do have an answer for you, which is that you were upset. You're upset. It was driving you crazy. You are upset that you can't taste or smell. And here you are making this yummy dish for your husband, which you can't smell or taste or enjoy. Yeah. And guess what? You get to be upset about that and express that you're upset. Right?
Yeah, and I love that. Yeah.
And to say, oh, this is driving me crazy. How is it driving you crazy? Like, say more about that. Like, get it, you need to get it out. And then use very to reassure, to respond to yourself. So say more about how
you
upsetting
this
is. You
want to respond to myself?
Sorry?
I missed the last thing you said. Use what to respond to myself?
My very acronym, validate, acknowledge, and reassure you. Do it right now. No time like the present.
Okay.
I can't believe I have to do this on live radio video, but I got to get my dog out of here before he knocks things. So hold that thought, Nicole. I'm holding it. Hold on. Sorry, Sam. Sorry, Nicole. Oh my gosh.
Okay.
One day I'll be back in the studio. This will not happen again. So, Nicole, what would you say the feeling like sounds like your frustration? It's frustration.
Yeah. Frustrated, upset, annoyed, pissed.
Okay, I'm going to give you some prompts, and I just want you to finish the sentence, without thinking about it too much, just finish the sentence. So I'm exasperated because that, finish the sentence.
I like tasting things and smelling things, and the fact that I can't is just annoying, that I don't have control, and I want to taste something and I can't, and there's no way. I don't know when it's going to come back. I don't know how it's going to come back. I don't know if it's going to come back. And there's nothing I can do. I just have to surrender and be, and that's annoying because I like to be in control maybe.
Yeah. So notice how you went from being aggravated to telling yourself you need to surrender. I don't want you to think about surrendering right now. I want you to think about expressing it. So I'm aggravated.
I'm aggravated. I'm frustrated. I'm annoyed. I just want a taste. I don't know.
Yes, of course.
I think it's.
So first you have to just say, oh, this is driving me crazy. I'm so annoyed. This is so frustrating, et cetera, et cetera. And just say it and get it out, right? Got to get it out.
Yeah.
That you're eating and trying to hope that you're going to be able to taste is like hoping that you have some sense of power over it. If you just eat this, then maybe you're going to be able to taste something.
Yeah. 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 It's crazy. It's like, I don't even want to go into validating or I almost don't want to express and complain because then I'm like, why am I complaining? It's almost like a guilt. It's like this thing that comes upon me of like, why am I complaining? Like, it could be worse. Like, at least I'm alive, like whatever it is. And then I go into, well, maybe I should start using my other senses more. Or
Nicole, first of all, okay, of course, I'm going to use very on you right now. First of all, of course you're complaining. There's nothing wrong with complaining. You're complaining because you have COVID and you lost your sense of taste and smell, right? Of course you feel that way. How else could you feel? If your husband lost his taste and smell, would you just say, stop complaining about it? Could be worse? I don't think so.
I would validate and acknowledge. And it seems like I'm not validating and acknowledging my own feelings. I'm kind of just disregarding them. I'm just not wanting to validate and acknowledge myself. Like, I deserve to be validated and acknowledged. What is wrong with that? That's the whole problem.
And it can be worse is something that is often used to dismiss the reality that you're feeling. It doesn't matter that it could be worse. That is irrelevant. The reality is, because it could always be worse, right? Just because you are surviving COVID doesn't mean you have to feel good about the fact of how it's affecting you. It does nothing to say, well, I'm alive. A lot of people are dead from COVID. At least I'm alive. Right. So what if you still have lost the taste and smell and it affects you. So yes, you can say it could be worse, but before you say that, acknowledge that it really sucks.
Yeah. That it really sucks. Yeah. It really sucks. Dr. Nina, it freaking sucks. I like tasting things. I used to have a really sharp, like, I enjoy tasting. Like, the other part that's driving, well, maybe the other part, I like sipping on a nice glass of wine. The fact that I can't even tell if a wine is good or bad, not that I should be drinking wine when I'm, you know, still recovering, but, you know, I can't freaking taste anything. It's annoying.
Yes. Look, I'm with you. I've had loss of taste and smell when I've had a cold or the flu or something. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It's so frustrating. It's upsetting.
Yeah.
And then because you don't know when you're going to get it back, it's especially frustrating and upsetting.
And then the other part, kind of connecting to the food stuff, it's like, I even had this thought, I'm going to say it just to get it out and to validate and acknowledge that maybe it's okay to even have this thought or just be aware that I'm having it, is that I'm like, oh, maybe this will be a good, not that I need to lose weight. I don't think I need to lose weight, but I'm like, no, maybe this will be a good way to lose weight. I can't even taste what I'm eating. Like, if someone puts dog food, I won't know the freaking difference. And I'm like, shit, what a bad thought to have. Like, why am I having that thought? What's wrong with me?
Okay, but that was critical. Say it out of curiosity. Yeah. Why am I having that thought? What's wrong with me?
I wonder why I'm having that thought. What might be causing this thought? Like, is there something from my childhood? Is it Is it deep rooted somewhere? What is this connected to? I'm curious about this.
Okay, see what a difference that is. So, do you remember when, like, you would call often and you would talk about, like, wanting to lose 2 pounds or 1 pound, like, or gaining 2 pounds was catastrophic. And one day you shared about how you had been overweight as a child, and your mother's reaction to you was that you felt that she didn't love you as much when you were
gone
through your chubby phase.
Yeah.
I think that's still, you know, that still may be with you, especially now newly married. There's a lot about when you get married and you're planning and you're doing all this stuff and you're planning for the honeymoon, and then you're just so focused and all of this stuff, and then you're done and you're married, and now you're married. Okay. And now you live your life.
Yeah.
And that's why sometimes sometimes these old ideas can come back, and you're married. Yeah. So maybe there's a part of your mind that's like, ooh, I better make sure that my husband loves me, and the more weight I lose, the more lovable I am, says that part of your mind.
Yeah, maybe. That kind of makes sense. That kind of feels right somewhere. Like, you know, I definitely think it's related to that. Yeah. Yeah. And I think also, well, there's, I don't want to take up too much time on your show. I don't know how long I've been on here. If you want me to get off, I can. But do you want me to get off?
No, I don't. No.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Okay.
Too much time.
There's just, it's hard for me to say everything that's going on in such a short period of time. But also, like, I don't know if you remember, but I've said on the show that, you know, I had gone on Adderall, the medication for ADD, and how it was suppressing my appetite. And so now that I'm married and I'm thinking about potentially, you know, God willing, having kids and stuff, I haven't been on the medication that long, but getting off the medication and, you know, that being kind of scary. And so I think that my comment of thinking, oh, now that I lost my sense of taste, maybe I'll shed a couple pounds, was kind of like related to getting off the medication, because I'm afraid that my appetite's not going to be suppressed, and I'm just scared of being out of control, and I'm scared of being that, you know, that chubby kid. And my mom's been sending pictures of us, like, in Europe when I was younger with the family, and I'm like, I don't want to turn into that, you know. So I think it's all related. Like, I think you once said it's like it's spaghetti, like it's all the wires. I don't know, did you see that? You said something like everything is related. You said, I told you, but I'm aware that all of these things are related. So I'm just trying to, I guess I should, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to validate and acknowledge that I have a lot going on right now, and that I'm probably feeling a lot of things, and it's okay.
Exactly.
I'm going to start there.
And what I probably said was that these roots, all these, you generally don't take out a root and it's just one root. It's got all these little offshoot roots to it, but they all go together. It's like all roads lead to Rome. Roots lead to, you know, the one main root. You also have probably spending a lot of time with your mom, and she is a person who used to say, I should be, I should be dead if she gained weight. So you have this strong, voice in your mind. And so just be really aware of the voice of your mom in you, right? Because it's not just your mom's voice. It's the part of you that internalized her perspective.
Oh my God, I love that. Be aware of your mom's voice inside you. What did you say about her? Like, what you say is gold. Like, you just get it.
I said, like, you've internalized her perspective. So we can sometimes take in the view of ourselves that we perceive from our parents or from other people.
Yeah. And you know what's also insane that I just thought about right now is I haven't called the show in a long time. You know that. I was just talking to my mom, and we had on the phone and then some text back and forth. And I said to her, like, you know, it's interesting. Lately, every time we talk, like, I don't feel good after. And she's like, I feel the same. And I was like, well, maybe we should just take a break and reflect on that. And then I called you. And I don't know. It's just, it's weird. Maybe I just feel like there's something there too. Like, yeah, I feel like I've dealt with a lot of mom stuff on the call, mm-hmm. on my calls with you. And so maybe you just felt like a safe place, or I also think it's all related somehow.
And yes, it's always all related. And the other part of it is, you know, now, like, you're not just your mom's daughter, you're also a wife. Like, your mom is a wife. And sometimes when we become the roles of our parents, we can take on some of their perspectives, or things can get revived. So yeah, that is an interesting juxtaposition that you were just talking to your mom, and perhaps it is easier for you, or less painful, I should say, to focus on what you're eating, not eating, what you weigh, than it is on what is weighing on you, which is this relationship with your mom. And that's painful to feel bad after you talk with her. Easier to go, oh my gosh, what am I eating? Than, oh, I feel bad after I talk with my mom. And it's a distraction.
Yeah. Am I eating? Distracting. Thank you so much. It's nice to hear your voice, Dr. Nina.
Nice to hear your voice, Nicole. It's good to hear from you. And I will tell you that, like, people tell me all the time, oh, I'm listening to your early shows from a few years ago, and whatever happened with Nicole? And so I know they'll be really happy to hear your update. And please feel free to call anytime. I think you're really on to something.
Okay.
Focusing on food and weight and all of that is a distraction from what is weighing on you, which is this painful relationship with your mom.
Love it. Thank you. I will call back for sure.
I look forward to that. Happy New Year.
Okay.
And better.
Happy New Year. Bye.
Okay.
Bye.
You know, and that's such a good example, what Nicole's going through, of how we protect ourselves from, I was saying earlier, we protect ourselves from feeling upset at others by getting upset at ourselves for what we weigh, for what we ate, for how we binged, you name it, or for something else. And I call that the boomerang effect. So instead of, oh, I'm so upset at that person for, you know, XYZ, it kind of turns around, boomerangs back on you, and now you're, oh no, I'm upset at myself. Look at what I weigh. Look at what I'm doing. Look at what I'm not doing. And now, you know, now you're attacking yourself. So that using food to turn against yourself, or using your weight, or using something to turn against yourself to protect you from scary feelings you might have about others. But, you know, facing those thoughts and feelings and processing them, sometimes with the other person, sometimes not. I'm not sure Nicole should talk to her mom about what's upsetting her, if she can figure it out. But I think Nicole, or if you can relate to Nicole, like, you need to, you know, you need to resolve it within yourself, and so that you don't turn on yourself. Make sense? Okay. So thank you for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show. I am here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific here on LA Talk Radio, and also live streaming on Instagram. You can also catch the show later on Apple Podcasts or anywhere where you get a podcast. And I want to encourage you to stay curious, not critical, be a detective, and remember that our relationship to ourselves is everything to do with our relationship with food. When we're kind to ourselves, we feel better. When we feel better, we don't use food to cope. And easier said than done, practice makes progress. I'll see you next week. Have a healthy, happy week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.